SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan iba pang kwento sa sbs.com.au/Filipino.
Kasama ko ngayon si Dr. Cristina Liedo Gomez mula BBI, Australian Institute of Theological Education, at ating pag-uusapan ang kahalagahan ng papel o ang kahalagahan ng ginagampan ng papel ng Santo Papa sa simbahan. Magandang araw!
Magandang araw sa inyo po.
Maraming salamat sa panahon mo.
Maraming salamat rin.
So nitong mga huling araw, no, naging sentro ng usapin ng maraming mga Katoliko sa buong mundo ang pagpanaw ni Pope Francis. At itong mga susunod na araw ay naghahanda na para pumili ng susunod na leader ng simbahang Katoliko. Pwede mo sa aming ibahagi kung gaano kahalaga ang ginagampan ng papel ng Santo Papa o ng Pope sa simbahang Katoliko?
The Pope unites us as the Church. As we saw with this current Pope, he models for us what is the way forward for the Church, especially in response to the current times. And he leads both clergy and lay alike to, you know, how we go forward as a Catholic Church.
What I distinctly remember about him is in his encounters with people, he wasn't very strict with how he interpreted God's word.
Yes, definitely. So I guess, the idea of the authority of the Pope, or even like the idea of authority in the Church, you know, there's been debates on this for decades, for centuries. Some people's idea of authority is like the authoritarian, you know, the parent who, you know, says children are to be seen but not heard. And then there's the other type of parent who says, you know, I don't know everything and I can learn something from my own children, and it's a dialogue rather than a one-way monologue. With Pope Francis, he takes up the Vatican II way, which is, you know, previous to Vatican II, the Church was very insular and, you know, really focused on itself, and almost it was about thinking of Church teachings as something to be preserved and just to be handed on to the next generation. And that's obviously in response to a certain context. But, you know, in the 60s, particularly 62, 65, when Vatican II happened, you know, lots of things were happening. You had, you know, obviously the women's movement, the black movement for liberation. It was a time of change. And if the Church did not respond to that and became more insular rather than something that wanted to dialogue with the world, it was really going to, you know, turn in on itself. And so the thing that really distinguishes Vatican II is it became a church that's more pastoral something that's reaching out to the world for the world rather than just about preserving itself. And this is something that Pope Francis has done from the very beginning of his papacy, which is, his favorite image is the church is a field hospital. We need to go out there and we need to tend to the wounds before we even talk about teachings or, how to follow Christ. And his very way of being Christian is, you know, attend to the person in front of you. Don't attend to the ideology, but rather attend to the person. So this is really what's been very beautiful about Pope Francis, and which has also enabled him to be able to, address some of our current issues today. Like, for example, the LGBTQ issue. Originally, the church, you know, had a very strong stance about the LGBTQ community, And yet, whenever we hear how Pope Francis talks about the LGBTQ community, it's always in this pastoral way that they have dignity and that we should treat them with dignity. And they are one of the vulnerable people in the world, and they shouldn't be excluded. And also, even with his limitations as an old Italian South American man, he also he has ideas about women. He also understands that women, actually need to be in the places of decision making in the church, and so he's trying to make room for that. But he also doesn't want to, and I think this is what's really, really the very heart of like Pope Francis' legacy, which is he's left us the legacy of dialogue. You know, so the synod on synodality that happened in 2021, 2024, and his idea is that wherever we're coming from on a certain issue or how Christianity should be practiced, everyone should have a voice at the table. Everyone should feel like they're heard, and we should all find a way to work together towards the common good. And so, I think previous to this idea of synodality, you know, people were just saying, oh, I'm a leftist, I'm on the right, and there was just a division, and we couldn't move forward as a church. Yeah, I think this is his legacy, and this is what we're really hoping that is continued by the next pope, whoever that person is.
So the problem with change in leadership, there can be a change in the way things are run.
Oh, definitely. And that would be unfortunate because Pope Francis has actually created a doorway for us to begin to have dialogue. And if you close that door and you close that dialogue, you know, it's almost unimaginable what the church could look like, you know. And I mean, there are some people who are frustrated because Vatican II happened in 1962. Where are we now? 2025. And we still don't feel the effects of Vatican II. And so, you know, to close that doorway, to close that dialogue means we're going to go back to pre-Vatican II. And I think there are some people who would like for that to happen. But also, the thing is, that's not how God works. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. You know, the Holy Spirit always moves us to places of uncomfortability if we need to. And that's because, you know, we're always led towards God. We're always led towards love, the love of God. So,
but here in Australia, if you go to church on a Sunday or a Saturday, you would see that there are very few people, like a handful of people who regularly attend church.
Oh, and definitely.
And there's sometimes it's just the older members of the community that are present, and you would only see younger members of the community come into church when it's baptism time or it's Christmas or it's Easter.
Yeah. I totally get that. I get that a lot. And that's something that, you know, it's saying something to the Australian church. And this is a problem for both. You know, the Australian bishops and the whole church, the lay, to come to terms with. At the same time, just last week I was sitting in a church where young people had done a pilgrimage from Blacktown to Parramatta. So I think that was, you can work out the kilometers there.
Yes,
they did that.
They walked
like overnight. Right,
okay.
They walked and they moved. They did the Stations of the Cross, and you know, like in the early hours of the morning, and I think about 1,400 young people were participating in that. I mean, yes, most of them were like migrants, like Filipinos and Indians,
Asians,
and, Fijians. Yeah, so a lot of the global South young people. People from the global South and migrants were there. And so I guess, if anything, the church is still growing in terms of that. But in terms of the rest of the Australian population, yeah, it is a concern. In saying that too, I mean, some people say when Christianity became the official religion under Constantine, this was the fourth century, you know, people became Christians because they had to, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it just became part of the culture. And so I guess with those young people, you know, being a Christian is continuing the legacy and the culture of their parents, their families. So culture is very, very much intertwined with religion. And so that's one reason why it's still thriving in those migrant communities. But for those, like, you know, especially the Australian communities where the congregation is dying, it's mostly older people, you know, it's not part of their everyday culture. And and look, I teach teachers of religion here at BBI, Australian Institute of Theological Education, and even teachers themselves don't even understand they have misunderstandings of basic things like how the Bible is to be interpreted, not as a historical document, you know, historical scientific document, but a theological document, meaning people are making sense of their relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the idea that the world is created in 7 days or 14 days or one day is ridiculous because it's not meant to be interpreted that way. It's meant to say something else. But if you're going to read the Bible literally that way, then, you know, you're not actually understanding the point of that particular text, right?
Yes.
So even simple things like that.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organization a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
Well, in recent days leading up to the conclave, one of the favorites is a Filipino.
Yes.
Why do you think he's been singled out?
Let's just say, whenever people say their favorites, especially in the media, it's never ever worked out that that person has become the Pope. That's just my take on that and other people's take on that. But this person, Cardinal Tagle, I think he is in a way being pointed out because it's saying something about people saying, well, actually, maybe we really need a Pope from South Asia, because actually we've never ever had a Pope from South Asia. And he would be continuing this legacy of Pope Francis of focusing on the poor and not just, you know, the poor in that kind of idealistic way, but actually, you know, in the way that Pope Francis engaged with the poor, it's meeting the poor as people who have dignity. And so, you know, yeah, Cardinal Tagle would very much do that. But also, let me remind you that there are other two Filipino cardinals who could fit that bill. The only thing is that they've just been made cardinals to this year. Tagle, he was already a favorite back in 2013.
Yes.
And then they said at the time he was too young. But then now, yeah, he would be right for it. At the same time, there are also people saying, well, he's been given some positions of leadership and he hasn't really shown much in those positions of leadership.
But what would an Asian Pope mean, just in case?
Yeah, an Asian Pope, definitely. Look, especially if it's like a Filipino Asian Pope, it would mean not just highlighting. The thing here is we still live, even though we, you know, the colonial period is over, you know, you don't have colonizers going into indigenous lands. We still live with that legacy, right? And so we still have the, you know, the mindset of the empire in many places and domination. And that's just not even, you know, the good news. That isn't the gospel. An Asian Pope would highlight, you know, the Church of the Poor, which was what Pope Francis was all about, you know, preferential option for the poor. And also it would mean too, I actually think, bringing in things like the value of kapwa. There's values that the Filipino
community,
you yeah, community Filipino values that could like actually help the current church at the moment. I mean, you know, this idea of being synodal, in some ways, you know, like for us as Filipinos, we'll just go, yeah, like we do that all the time. We always pakisama the other person. We don't like try to create divisions. We try to, you know, create harmony as much as we can. And we understand that other people are different. You know, we just have to find a way to go forward. But, you know, bringing that idea of kapwa, I know like it has, you know, in other languages, like the Africans have the same idea of Ubuntu, you know, the self and the other. And so, you know, bringing that into a church would just really help the church to continue the legacy started by Pope Francis and you know, which is really not just Pope Francis, but it's Pope Francis promoting Vatican II. And, yeah, just like trying to open more doors so that the church actually is being relevant to people's lives and talking to them about their lives rather than talking down to them.
Maraming salamat, Dr. Christina Liadig Gomez ng BBI, Australian Institute of Theological Education.
No worries. And it was a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope you've learned something from what I've said.
E-like, e-share, mag-comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.